Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. This is the second part of the Andre Iguodala trade special. If you've not already listened to the first part, go listen to that now. It's already out. It's in your podcast feed. If you're a subscriber to the show, go find that. Listen to that first. It's a long one. It's like 40 minutes long, but trust me, it's worth it. We go through four teams in order on that show. Give a little preface on what the Grizzlies are looking for on that show as well. We hear from different people on that show as well from different teams. So go check that one out first, then come back because this is part two. We're going to pick up right where we left off on that one and start talking about four more teams we think could have an impact for the Grizzlies trade. So go check that out. We're going to talk about four more teams coming up on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies.
Pull up, jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. Three-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. The relentless Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the show. Before we get started, as always, make sure you go subscribe to the show, whatever podcast platform you're using. It really helps the show if you rate and review the show in iTunes. If you're an iTunes user, that'd be super helpful, and I'd appreciate if you guys did that. If you're not an Apple iTunes user, that's okay too, because you can get the podcast in whatever platform that you use, whether that's Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, literally anything out there. Just go get it and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any episode from Locked On Grizzlies. We have daily episodes. We have this trade special. We have preview episodes for all the games. So just a ton of content out there from myself that you can enjoy. So make sure you go and subscribe. Now let's get started. Let's pick up right where we left off from part one. The next team on our list, and if you, again, if you missed part one, the teams that we were talking about are the Trailblazers, the Celtics, the Clippers, the Rockets, Mavericks, the Lakers, the Miami Heat, and the Nuggets. We're going to talk about the last four today. We already talked about the previous four in the other episode. So let's pick up with the Mavericks. The Mavericks are an interesting combination because they're a little bit like the Grizzlies in a sense that they are having an accelerated timeline because of Luka Doncic. They did not think they'd probably be in the situation they are, but they made a trade last year for Kristaps Porzingis, and he's obviously very, very good at basketball from the Knicks. And, you know, they're probably further along than they thought they would be right now. The problem with that is how much do they want to go all in? You know, they're pretty high in the standings right now. I believe they are, let's see, I looked it up. They are sixth. They were fifth yesterday, so they're sixth now. So are they a team that feels like they can win now? And that's really what this is about, is Andre Iguodala is a win now player. Or do they feel like they can bring Andre Iguodala back on a cheaper contract that helps them win next year? So that's really the decision they have to make. Do they think that Andre Iguodala will stay? Because I don't think they're going to be a team that is going to want to be willing to give up a lot of stuff to get Andre Iguodala as a rental. Definitely not for this year. Now, they might view it as trying to get off some contracts, which they can do as well. You know, that could be a thing for a lot of teams, the Grizzlies, that we probably haven't talked about that aren't contenders, that just view this as, okay, we have an expiring deal. We want to get off a contract, and we'll give you a first-round pick to do it. Now, they've already done that in the sense where they did that with Andre Iguodala with the Warriors. So there might be some other teams like that. But can the Mavericks convince Andre Iguodala to stick around with their core when they feel like they can make a run next year, maybe the year after that? I don't know. I don't know if that's if Andre Iguodala has enough left in the tank to even do that. But they're here. We're going to talk about them. So the first, I've got actually three different trades for the Mavericks. And they're one of the easier teams to make this deal because they have a large contract in Courtney Lee that they are willing to give up because he's not playing a lot. So the first deal is Courtney Lee and Justin Jackson and a first-round pick with Andre Iguodala. Now, they also cannot trade their first-round pick until 2026 because of the Stephian rule in the NBA. If you're unfamiliar with that rule is, the Stephian rule is basically teams cannot trade their first-round picks in consecutive years. So if they traded, for example, if they've already traded next year's pick for or this year's pick for 2020, they cannot trade their 2021 first-round pick. Or if they traded their 2021 first-round pick, they cannot trade their 2022. So they have to have their picks. They cannot have their picks gone in consecutive years is the rule. So the first time you'd get a first-round pick would be from them would be from the 2026 draft. Now, Courtney Lee again, is a guy that you're probably not even going to play. He's a decent deal, but Courtney Lee is just to make what the money. He's to make the money work in this situation. Justin Jackson is the player that I'd ask for if I own the Grizzlies. He's a young player, shown flashes of being good. He's in their rotation off the bench a little bit. He is as a wing. He's upgrading. You know, if you think you're upgrading your wing bench with Andre Iguodala for the playoffs, man, maybe that makes sense for them. And Jackson's on a 3-year deal, $3.5 million. Much, you know, it's a small deal. I believe it's his rookie deal, and you know the Grizzlies can try him out. It's an easy salary to move. It's easy salary to waive. All those type of things. If it doesn't work out for the Grizzlies, again, they can't get a first round pick until 2026. So what they could do if they decided, okay, we want to cash in right now, is they could ask for the Golden State Warriors pick that the Mavericks have in the second round, which would be pretty high right now. So that's the other deal. It's basically the same thing, Courtney Lee and Justin Jackson, but it's the second round pick from Golden State instead of the first round pick in 2026. Do they want to wait that long for a first round pick if they want to cash in now? Because that second rounder from Golden State is going to probably be pretty good. It's going to be pretty high. Those are the type of things you'd have to weigh in that situation. But again, Courtney Lee is the guy that makes it work because of the salary. And then Justin Jackson is a guy that I think would be good as a prospect for the Grizzlies potentially to help them along and maybe just see what he can do as a wing off the bench for the Grizzlies. I know the Grizzlies have a lot of those already, but you know, you can never have too many prospects right now for the Grizzlies, the way they're tracking and just trying out players, seeing who sticks, seeing who doesn't. The other trade I would do for the Mavericks is actually Tim Hardaway Jr. He has a 2-year deal. It's $20 million. It's a big deal. And a second rounder, that same second rounder from Golden State for Andre Iguodala. Now, why would the Grizzlies go out and want to trade for Tim Hardaway Jr.? Well, first of all, it fits their timeline. And the timeline that I'm talking about is there is a point in this future where you're going to have to pay Jaren Jackson Jr. And they're going to have to pay him a max salary because that's what he's going to command. He's going to be a restricted free agent in 2 years. So the Grizzlies have a 2-year window where they don't have to pay anybody a lot of money, none of their core players. And they have 4 years until they have to pay Ja. So there is a timeline where it is a very significant timeline of 2 years that you can take in salary, a lot of salary, and really not have it hurt you in any way, shape, or form in your grand scheme of timelines with your core players. Brandon Clark's still going to be on a rookie deal. John Morant's on your rookie deal. Jaren Jackson Jr. is on a rookie deal for 2 more years. Grayson Allen's on a small deal. Dylan Brooks is going to be a restricted free agent, but he's not going to command a whole lot of money. D'Anthony Melton, same way. So you have a bit of leeway there. Why do the Grizzlies trade for Tim Hardaway Jr.? It's because he's a good player. He's a really, really good shooter. Shoots 30% from three over eight attempts per game. He's a scorer. You want to score off the secondary wing, he's a scorer. Now, he's also playing minutes and playing good minutes for the Mavs, so I doubt they do this deal. I don't know if they see this deal as or view Tim Hardaway as a negative value. If they wanted to get him off your roster, that's really what it's boiling down to. Do you want to get Tim Hardaway off your roster, move that money to the Grizzlies, and you can have Andre Iguodala for a rental this year, and if he walks, he walks. Now you have a $20 million hole in your cap space that you didn't before going into free agency this year that you could potentially add smaller contracts, better wings, all those type of things in a free agency class this year. The Grizzlies for their troubles are going to get a second round pick, and maybe you could even get finesse a first round pick out of that. If they view Tim Hardaway as a negative, a real negative, maybe you finesse a first round pick out of that as well. Tim Hardaway's still going to play minutes for you. He's a good player. He's only 27 years old. It's not like he's an old, decrepit player. He's a good player. Yes, it's an enormous contract. But again, it's not going to hurt you in any situation where you're going to have to, you know, pay other guys and you're not going to have the money. Because those guys don't come up until 2 years from now. So you have the money. Tim Hardaway is going to be coming off the cap sheet, and you're basically going to be replacing that money with Jaren Jackson Jr. because his max deal is going to start about $24 million. So the Mavs probably don't do this deal. They probably don't do any deals for Andre Iguodala. Again, if they did it, I think it would probably be more of a salary dump than anything else. I don't think they view Andre Iguodala as a piece that's going to help them. They're in a similar boat to the Grizzlies. Luka has pushed them way faster than they anticipated of being where they are, which is why they went out and got different pieces like Kristaps Porzingis. But maybe they think they still need a few more pieces alongside those guys to really help them become contenders. And that's probably where they sit in terms of how they view the roster right now. So I'd say all in all, the Mavs are probably not likely, but it's a good destination that they could do different things. They could get rid of some salary as far as Courtney Lee is concerned, who's not playing much, and that cost of business is Justin Jackson. They get rid of some salary and Tim Hardaway, and the cost of business is maybe a first-round pick or a second-round pick for the Grizzlies as well. So that's the Mavs. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. We don't have anybody from the Mavs to talk about it from their side of things, so let's move on to the Lakers. This is a destination that the Grizzlies have been rumoring around a lot because the Lakers are in need of a wing defender that can stop Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs. And that's why you continue to see this name floated out there with the Lakers. Unfortunately, the Lakers don't have a whole lot of assets. I don't know if you remember a little trade in a guy involving Anthony Davis, but he got a lot of their assets away in that trade. So, or the Pelicans did. So it's a difficult deal to do. And like I keep saying, all these deals are difficult to do just in the sense that it's a lot of money. And so this deal starts with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and it goes from there. Now, this is a deal in other areas where you're going to have to add more than just a few players to get where you need to get to make this deal work. So the Grizzlies are going to have to, the Lakers are going to have to include Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Quinn Cook, and Jared Dudley, and a second rounder to get Andre Iguodala. And because they don't have any first rounders to trade. That's the problem, is the Grizzlies, what the Grizzlies want, they don't really have. Now, you would take Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in a heartbeat. He's only 26 years old. He shoots 43% from three, and he's only taken 3.5 attempts a game. Imagine what he could do in Taylor Jenkins' offense, shooting the insane amount of threes that they shoot and actually playing good, good minutes. Now, that is the key, because you take Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on his deal, it's a two-year deal, right around $9 million, about $8.8 million, and you might even extend him. I mean, maybe you get to a situation where he playing good minutes for you the next 2 years. He's only 26. He's playing good minutes over the next few years, and you're in a position where you need good veteran help and good shooting, and you can just extend Kentavious Caldwell-Pope because he's a good player. And you want to – I mean, that is the prize of this trade, is getting Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and the second-round pick is just icing on the cake. Now, you get Quinn Cook as well. He's a project point guard. I'm not really a big fan. It's still a two-year deal, $3 million. That's a deal you can get rid of if you need to. It's easily tradable. And then Jared Dudley at 1.6. His deal is expiring this year. He never sees a floor for the Grizzlies, probably never even comes to Memphis. But why did the Lakers do this deal? It's plain and simple. They get Andre Iguodala. They get a player who is a known commodity in the NBA. He is a good defensive player on the wing. He's a guy that they can really put out there in the playoffs and help LeBron and Anthony Davis deal with, you know, players like Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, all those type of wing players that they need help with. And Andre Iguodala wants to be in the Lakers. It's been known for a long time he wants to be on the West Coast. That's where he likes being. And so he gets to go where he wants to go. And then he possibly stays there for a much, much smaller deal in the next few years and out of LeBron's prime and Anthony Davis, all those type of things, and you put together a much better roster. Here's the biggest wrench in the issue, is that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has a no-trade clause. He can just say, I don't want to go there, and they go, okay, well, you don't have to go. And that's really what that's the problem you're going to run into every single time. Does Kentavious Caldwell-Pope want to be with the Grizzlies? Now, his role will be expanded with the Grizzlies. He's going to be starting. He would have a much bigger role, much bigger role in the offense. It would take a lot more shots. Maybe he scores more points. So does he view that as a better situation for himself in terms of being with the Grizzlies, having a couple years here, possibly extending any more, and seeing the young core and seeing what they can do, having a larger defined role in the offense? Or Does he just want to stay on the Lakers to possibly win a championship because you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James and you're really, really good at basketball? So that's what he has to weigh for the Grizzlies and the Lakers to make this deal work. It's really the money works as far as Quinn Cook and Jared Dudley. They're not playing a lot anyway. And the big piece of this is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and his no trade clause. So that's what this hinges on. If he doesn't want to be in Memphis, he simply doesn't have to be in Memphis. And for the Lakers, do they see as giving up Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and his shooting and his ability to space the floor in return for Andre Iguodala as a potential rental, but a much higher situation is where he might sign with them instead of somewhere else. Obviously, that's much, much higher with the Lakers. But is it possibly just a rental for this year? And what does he do for you? Is it more than what Kentavious Caldwell-Pope does for you as well? For me, I think he does. I think Andre Iguodala makes your team better. And I think giving up Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is not a high price to pay for the Lakers to be able to get what they really, really want. And a guy like Iguodala, and possibly for a long term. We don't have anybody from the Lakers as well, so let's move on to the next team, and that's the Denver Nuggets. This is obviously my absolute favorite trade partner because it just makes a ton of sense for the Nuggets. They need a wing off the bench that can stop all those wings that we talked about before, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, all those guys. So the Nuggets are my absolute favorite trade partner. The problem is, I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't know if they really, really want to pull the trigger. But let's talk about two different trades I think works for the Grizzlies. The first one is Mason Plumlee is the crux of this deal, not playing a ton of minutes. And then Malik Beasley, and then a second rounder in 2022 for Andre Iguodala. Now, this is a situation where Mason Plumlee has a one-year deal. You're just getting off his money for the Nuggets. It's really just make a deal work. It's an expiring deal. It's not like it's a benefit for the Grizzlies to have a one-year deal versus the Nuggets having a one-year deal. This is simply to make the money work. And it probably works even without, obviously, Malik Beasley, but that's what you're getting and taking on Mason Plumlee. You're getting Malik Beasley as the kind of star of the trade, and you get a second-round pick for your troubles. This is a really, really good trade for the Grizzlies. It's one you've seen everybody talk about on social media. Malik Beasley can be a guy. Maybe Malik Beasley here, Malik Beasley there. Well, it's because he's a proven commodity. They have a lot of young assets to make these things work. Malik Beasley played 81 games last year, scored over 10 points a game, shot just over 40% from three. He is a wing playmaker, and he's young. And he still has 2 years left on his rookie deal, $2.7 million. This guy is a type of player that you want on your team. He is a proven commodity in the NBA. He can play. He's already proven that when he played with the Nuggets last year. They just got into a situation where they've got a lot of talent on the Nuggets, a lot of young talent, and he's just gotten pushed down the depth chart. They decided to go with Jamal Murray as their scoring guard, and Jamal Murray's great. Like, there's no harm in that. They just ended up they drafted really well. And when you draft really well, sometimes that just becomes the issue, is that you have so many good young players, you just can't play them all. And that's kind of the situation Malik Beasley is in right now. He's barely playing for the Nuggets in just spot minutes here and there. And that's why you see most people talk about him, because last year they could have gotten way more than they probably get this year for Malik Beasley. They should have traded him last year. It was what they should have done when he was playing 81 games and scoring, shooting 40% from three. Now his trade value is much, much different. And that's why I think this probably works for the Nuggets. Now, Andre Iguodala has obviously played for the Nuggets. That's a different situation for them as well. But again, I think Malik Beasley is the prime crux of any trade with the Nuggets, for the Grizzlies and the Nuggets together. Like, that has to be included in any way, shape, or form, or you don't do the deal, period. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you, because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in all the action with MyBookie. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to MyBookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. The next trade is a little bit different, but kind of the same, but you would just include Will Barton instead of Mason Plumlee. in this deal. You can still get the second round pick. You still get Malik Beasley. Now, the Grizzlies would rather have the Mason Plumlee deal because it's an expiring deal. But does Will Barton put you in a situation where he can play, but his 3-year deal left on his contract? Now, that's actually, to me, it's 2 years after this. So it's still working your timeline. But it's a guy who's a little bit older. He still can play into this NBA, and it still doesn't hurt you in the situation of, you know, there's still 2 more years left in his deal. It's not going to hurt you in terms of being able to pay Jaren Jackson Jr. It just depends on how the Nuggets view Will Barton. They probably like him more than they don't like him. He's a good player for them, so they're probably going to opt for the Mason Plumlee deal because he just doesn't play a lot. But either way, you just give him choices, because either way the money works for the Grizzlies. I think that they'd much rather have the Mason Plumlee deal as well. That's an expiring contract. You get that deal off the books and you move on about your day. You have Malik Beasley and a second rounder for your troubles. Now, again, it just depends on what the Nuggets decide to do and what they think is the best situation for them. Let's hear from Adam Matas from Locked On Nuggets to talk about their side of things from the Nuggets.
Hey, this is Adam Matas of the Locked On Nuggets podcast, and I actually think Andre Iguodala would be a near perfect fit on the Denver Nuggets roster. The Denver Nuggets right now have a very deep team, a lot of young players, some of whom are not even getting into the rotation on a consistent basis at the moment, and especially Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernangómez. Get to them in just a moment. But what they lack more than anything else is a defensive small forward with some size. They're very vulnerable to the types of players like Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, LeBron James, Luka Doncic, James Harden, and all of the other big name wings that they're going to have to beat in the Western Conference playoffs. And a player like Andre Iguodala, I think, fits the mold of what they need. He's a very good cutter, as he showed obviously throughout his career, but especially with the Golden State Warriors. He can knock down the corner three. He can play a part of a high IQ system, which I think is, you know, Denver, one of the more read and react heavy teams. So I think he's a great, great fit, but Denver has the pieces to kind of make a deal work. Will Barton, who played at the University of Memphis, would be a player that potentially Andre Iguodala would be replacing. Their salaries line up somewhat decently. Denver also has Malik Beasley, who is a very good volume three-point shooting athlete, 22 years old. He was taken by the Nuggets a couple years back. I think now this is now his fourth season in the NBA. But because there's been so much young talent on the roster, Denver just hasn't been able to give him consistent minutes. He played last season, shot the three extremely well, some 40%, moves off ball very, very well. Dunk contest caliber athlete who he's just a fantastic piece on any team. Not the best defender. He is about 6'5", so he has a little bit of length, but he's not the best defender. Juancho Hernangómez, 6'9", out of Spain, same boat, same draft class. Very good three-point shooter, although a little bit more up and down. Very good offensive rebounder. A phenomenal fifth option. He's a low-usage guy. He doesn't make mistakes. If he's open, he's going to shoot it. If not, he's just going to kind of do his job. Also not the best rebounder. And then, of course, you've got players like Monte Morris, who leads the NBA in assist-to-turnover ratio. You've got Mason Plumlee, who's another guy that can make the salary cap, the salary match, similar to Will Barton. Jared Vanderbilt, who is a point forward in the mold of a Ben Simmons, who has been he had a foot injury that caused him to drop to the second round of the draft last year. He's healthy in the G League. Very good rebounder and passer. So Denver just has a lot of young players. They could put together a package, but here's why I don't think it's going to happen. First of all, Andre Iguodala played for the Denver Nuggets back in 2013 and was a big part of what made them such a talented team. They won 57 games that season, which is a franchise record for the Nuggets. But he left on somewhat of bad terms. You know, in the playoffs, George Karl had requested of him that he get physical with Steph Curry and maybe try to intimidate him a little bit, as has been replicated in the playoffs every year since then by teams that have had success against him. But Andre Iguodala was very, very good friends with him and Mark Jackson, spent the entire playoff series sort of hanging out with those guys, and then publicly stated that he wasn't going to execute the game plan. And a lot of people here in Denver really, really did not like that. I don't know that Andre Iguodala would like to return to Denver, and I have a feeling he would really like to be in LA. So the question is, would Denver like to spend assets on a player who maybe doesn't want to be part of the team and maybe wouldn't start out on the right foot? So I don't see it happening, but if it were, if there were mutual interest between Iguodala and Denver, Denver has the assets to get it done in a deal that would be favorable both to the Grizzlies and to Denver.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate it. Go check out Locked On Nuggets if you guys want to hear more about upcoming trade scenarios and situations with Andre Iguodala. And there's also going to be another trade show that we do. This is going to be everybody I think the Grizzlies should go out and get, or what they should do in terms of being a buyer at the deadline. You've seen me talk about on previous shows that I want them to go out and get players they're never going to be able to get in free agency or otherwise. So we'll do a totally different show, and the Nuggets will come up again, but with a different player from the different player or players from the Grizzlies that I think might work a little bit better, because you heard from Adam, Andre Iguodala is probably not a guy that wants to be back in Denver, and as a rental, I'm not sure they're going to give up all that just for a rental. So maybe we can work out something else with the Nuggets going forward. The next team up on our list, and the last team up on our list, is the Miami Heat. Now, the Miami Heat are interesting because they're way better than I thought they were. In part due to they have way better young players that got undrafted than they thought they were going to have either. Kendrick Nunn is a really, really good player. They have players like Duncan Robinson, who's a really, really good player. We're talking about him in a minute. But like, they just have a lot of good young players they drafted or signed from undrafted that nobody saw coming. And they're way better now than they thought they were going to be because of those young players. And they already have issues as far as top-heavy contracts, and they don't have a whole lot of middling contracts to trade. That being said, the Grizzlies can help them out in that situation. Now, the big problem in Miami right now is they have a guy named Deion Waiters who isn't playing at all. He's a $12 million contract and hasn't even stepped foot on the floor because he has issues with the front office coaching staff, all that right now. The Grizzlies can help out. This is what the Grizzlies can do for the Miami Heat. Here's the trade. The Grizzlies get James Johnson and Deion Waiters and a first-round pick in return. The Grizzlies send out Andre Iguodala and Josh Jackson. Now, James Johnson has a $15 million deal, still has 2 years left. Deion Waiters has a $12 million deal, still has 2 years left. And you get a first-round pick, again, 2026, because they can't trade contiguous first-round picks because of the Steffian rule, but you still get a first-rounder for your troubles. The Grizzlies send out Andre Iguodala and Josh Jackson. Quite frankly, two guys are never going to set foot on the floor for the Grizzlies. Why does the Heat do this? Here's the thing, is that they have cap issues. They're already over the luxury tax, and they're going to be at huge, huge cap relief in doing a deal like this. They go from having two guys on their books the next 2 years making almost $30 million a year to having two guys expiring off their books almost the same amount of money, $25 million a year. So that's huge for them because they get cap relief. And all they have to do is get out a first-round pick in doing so. Now, this is a huge help to Miami. Again, this puts them under the luxury tax, saves them on tax bills, all those type of things for the Grizzlies. This is perfect for what they're trying to do because they're trying to also win. But these guys are not really – I mean, James Johnson's playing, but neither is Deion Waiters doing all this without him. Like, he's not even playing right now. And so, yes, Deion Waiters is a good, good player. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's still a player, and that's why the Grizzlies do this deal, because – he is still a very, very good player in this league, has shown time and time before he can score the basketball. Those are the things that Deion Waiters can do for you. And above all, it still fits your two-year timeline, two-year window of having to pay Jaren Jackson Jr. in the next 2 years. So those are why the Heat does it and why the Grizzlies do it. And if I were the Grizzlies, I'd also ask for a young player in this deal. I'd ask for them, because you're really helping them out. Like, Deion Waiters is, I think, a proven commodity in this league and will help your team and make them better right away. And maybe, again, it's a different situation from Deion Waiters. James Johnson, I'm not sure if he plays, but again, it probably doesn't matter. It expires in 2 years and you go on about your way. Maybe he wants a buyout. Probably not, though. But again, you go on about your way in 2 years' time and no one's the wiser. But I think if I were the Grizzlies, I would ask for a young player as well, because you're helping the Heat out a lot by saving them on that tax bill and a couple of guys who really don't mean that much to them, and Deion Waiters and James Johnson. So maybe you can get Duncan Robinson out of there as well, because you can still do this deal, get Duncan Robinson, who is a hell of a prospect. He's shooting 45% from three right now. He's one of the top five players in three-point percentage right now in the league, and he's doing it just all types of ways. He is a prospect I would want the Grizzlies to go out and get. It just, I don't know if the Heat are willing to give him up. And maybe the Grizzlies don't even do that deal without Duncan. Maybe that is a sticking point. And the Grizzlies, but the Heat have a lot of young players. They have Tyler Herro, they have Kendrick Nunn, they have Duncan, all these guys that are really good on rookie deals. So if the Grizzlies are going to ask for a young player, maybe it's a different young player. I would ask for Duncan Robinson because I think he's perfect for the Grizzlies. I think he fits exactly what they're trying to do. But again, this is really helping the Heat out on their tax bill, helping them clear a lot of salary, $30 million in salary that they're going to be able to go out and spend in the offseason this year to make their team better, especially with all the rookie contracts they have on their team right now. I think it's a deal that makes sense for both sides. It's one of the rare things, and as we talked about these eight teams, we've really rarely run into a situation where we think it works out for everybody involved. I think this works out for everybody involved, for the Grizzlies, for the Heat. It helps them get what they need. It helps us get what we need in terms of a young player and a first-round pick, and you're helping them save on their money as well. Let's talk to Dave Rammel from Locked On Heat. He will give us a better perspective from the Heat side of things and what they actually may or may not do.
Hey, everyone. This is David Rammel of Locked On Heat. Miami has been very successful to start the season, exceeding expectations by a pretty wide margin. And while they may not be strong title contenders this year, they could theoretically swing a trade to help bolster their chances, and that's where Andre Iguodala certainly comes in. They've been relying on a very young, unproven core that consists of two undrafted players, Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson, who are both in the starting lineup, not to mention rookie Tyler Herro coming off the bench. On top of that, Justice Winslow, in just his fifth season, has missed 24 games this year, and many people are questioning if he'll ever avoid injury during his career. We have no way of knowing whether Winslow will be healthy, or if the young players will be able to handle postseason pressure. Acquiring a wing player with championship experience to maximize your title chances during Jimmy Butler's peak in Miami makes a lot of sense. The problem is what Miami is willing to give up in exchange for Iguodala. They owe a handful of first-round picks over the next few seasons for past trades and almost all of their second-round picks until the 2026 draft. So they'll probably be reluctant to send a draft pick unless it's for a star in his prime or just shy of it, and Iguodala doesn't fit that description any longer. They might be willing to send Winslow given his inconsistent and health issues, and that would be a good move for Memphis because he has a lot of potential as a versatile defender and playmaker, and his age fits better with Ja's timeline. Think Jeff Green, but with some good passing ability. Aside from Winslow, I'm not sure if there's another great player slash asset that Memphis would want. There's the contracts of James Johnson, Deion Waiters, and Kelly Olynyk, all of which have options for next year that they'll likely pick up. Waiters can still play, even if he hasn't this year because he's butted heads with the coaching staff, but I'm not sure you want him on a team building around a young player. Olynyk's a good stretch big that can make plays for teammates, and Grizzlies fans certainly know all about Johnson. Miami isn't likely to part with any of the young players I mentioned before, given their cheap contracts and upside. I have no doubt that the Heat would love to sign Iguodala as a late-season addition if he's bought out, but given all of the obstacles I just described, I can't see a realistic trade that makes sense. If you want to check in on the latest Heat-related news, make sure to listen to and subscribe to Locked On Heat.
Thanks to Dave. I appreciate you taking the time out to give us that information. Again, if you have any questions about the Heat, go check out Locked On Heat from Dave. Great job over there as well. I appreciate all the writers and podcasters and hosts to send us audio for this two shows. I really appreciate it. I know it takes a lot of time out to do that. It took a lot of time to put these two episodes together. So I hope you guys enjoy it. If you have any questions, DM them to me on Twitter at King_producer or the show at Locked On Grizz. Either of those will work. I'll try to answer them the best I can. And if you're not already sending your questions in for the Monday mailbag on Monday, do that as well. Make sure you subscribe to the show. Again, whatever podcast platform you're using. If you're in Apple iTunes, make sure you go leave a review. It really helps our show. And be on the lookout for the next trade special, probably multi-part as well. But we're going to be going through trades the Grizzlies should do. How do they improve the roster from A to B to C to D? What can they do to make their team better this year, for now, and for going forward? So make sure you check that out on the podcast feed when it drops as well. Until Monday, we will be gone over the next few days. So enjoy these three episodes that are out, the part one, part two, and the Joe Mullenix show as well. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new show.